future.
It is the biggest week in the NFL. It's the week we look forward to all season long. We've made it to Atlanta. Hi, everybody. Mina Kimes, my good friend here. I'm Diane Rossini. Thanks for hanging out with us on our first show together.
Thanks for calling me your good friend. You've never said those words until now, live. You can't take it back.
That's actually a really good point. I feel like sometimes you have to have good manners on TV, so I'm going to try to stick with that throughout the next 30 minutes.
I'm sure
here.
You will.
All right, so here's the thing with the show. We want you to tweet and join the conversation here. Mina's got a computer up. Our producer's going to be in our ear the whole time letting us know some topics that you guys want to talk about, if you have any questions for us. So this is going to be sort of interactive, loose, but at the same time, we do want to get to some cool stuff because we know the Super Bowl is still just a few days away. We just arrived here in Atlanta. It's Wednesday, but there's been a lot of things going down the last few days, and we want to show you some of the fun stuff that maybe you missed.
I'm Roberto. Roberto Gronkowski.
Yo soy Fiesta.
As hard as you can.
Are those hearts for me? That makes me feel so warm inside.
Hey, Tom! You all! Just kidding.
Come on, you Aaron Donald. Come on.
I've been popping since my demo, baby.
You've been popping since his demo, man. Shout out Future.
You always remember me.
You already got the sleeves cut off.
Hard. You can do it harder than that.
Buy me a shark?
If we win, I'll buy you a shark. Yes, Mike.
Woohoo! Champion.
It's tough that professionals they have a tough time tackling. Everybody who has the comments, just meet me in the hole one day.
All right, go. As hard as you can.
No, that's it.
Good job.
I don't truly understand the Danish slap thing. I mean, you play that growing up,
the one
right?
Where you go like that. Yeah, but he was doing it like vertically, and I...
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, because you're supposed to do it like that, and then...
Well, you're like... Okay, so I'm very nervous about shaking hands on TV because of Highly Questionable, but I think it's like...
That's true.
One of these... Yeah, right?
You have to deal with that every day, which you haven't figured that out. But that said, obviously, Tom Brady always giving good advice, making those comparisons to LeBron James, things that we kind of expected. Nothing too wild, although I think Gronk, he's feeling himself. He's always having a good time partying, but I feel like there's something a little extra.
Well, we'll talk about
going
that
out. So, you know, we'll talk about that soon for sure. But we want to get to a segment that we're going to call Story, Not a Story, really. Right? So we see so many headlines right now. And sometimes you can't really figure out whether or not there's truth to them or not. And if there's actually real meat to the story, right? So our first headline is nobody believes in the Patriots. You
nobody.
See it everywhere. Nobody, right?
Underdogs.
Mina spends most of her time on Twitter talking to Patriot fans about one time.
I don't want to talk to you.
One time you didn't pick the Patriots winning.
Literally one time.
And they screen grabbed it. And they played back some of your...
Somebody made a video, like a supercut or something, and put music to it. Okay, so I'm going to come out right at the top of this. Not a story in the sense of it's not true that the Patriots were, you know, largely perceived as underdogs. So I got dragged into this because I pointed out, this was after Tom Brady said, you know, that people think we suck and stuff.
Yeah.
So... More ESPN experts picked the Patriots to win the Super Bowl than any other team at the beginning of the season. During the season, they were almost unanimously favored in almost every game. They were favored in every game. The only game where I think the insiders panel was split was the Chiefs. And really, the only time they haven't been favored is in Kansas City, and it was like by 3 on the road, and they had been bad on the road all season. So the notion to me that there are these underdogs is crazy.
Here's the thing. And I actually tweeted this out a few weeks ago and got mauled for it. I think to be the leader, to be on top, to be the champ, I think that's harder to have that mentality, to go through the entire tournament knowing that you're the best, saying you're the best. I think playing that underdog card there almost makes it a little easier for them to get motivated.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, Drew Brees was talking about it during his press conference. He said, it's not about dealing with the hard things that, you know, with this team, the negative. Sometimes the challenge for being a great team is dealing with success.
Absolutely.
And I think that falls in the same regard. So while people say they're counting us out, and I don't think people really are.
So you're saying when you and I get to the top, we have to maintain that underdog mentality even
constantly.
When we're constantly perceived by everyone as a goat. I'll just say one more thing about the past before we get to the next one. if they were doubted during the regular season, because, you know, they weren't picked in every game. They were split. I picked them, the Chargers, to upset them.
Yep.
It's because they were a worse team in the regular season. They have improved in so many phases of the game in the postseason. We'll talk about that later. But they're like heating up at the right time, to use the cliche.
Well, they're not heating up, but they're heating up at the time that they always heat up,
yes,
though, Mina.
Perfect.
Like,
yeah.
They always start off slow. They have a rough September, and then they always wind up here, right? Tom Brady has gone to the Super Bowl 50% of the time during his career. Think about that.
I know.
It's incredible. All right, our next story. Todd Gurley is hurt.
Ooh.
Do you think that there's actual some realness,
yes,
to that headline? Because, listen, we saw what happened in the NFC Championship game with the Saints. He came out very honest, said, listen, that was a dud. I played terrible.
Yeah.
But was there more to it?
Which was interesting, right? Because the immediate speculation was he must have been hurt. Not only did he struggle, did he drop those passes, he struggled with pass blocking, got blown up a couple times on blitzes and everyone noticed, you know, and then ultimately got like 13 yards or something. Not all of that happened, but he also wasn't given many opportunities. Snap, CJ Anderson largely took his
Absolutely.
Spot. So the immediate reaction was, okay, he must be hurt. I don't think so, though.
I think there's something to it. I think players never want to fully be honest and open about what their situation is at this point in the season.
Right.
This is what they're working for. This is why they go through training camp and they kill themselves and they give up and sacrifice. So I think there's something there. It's just whether or not he wants to face it. And the fact that McVay is going to CJ Anderson tells me that he knows more.
I think that, so McVay after the game said, well, game flow call for, he said, I got to use Todd more. And I think he will in the Super Bowl. We'll talk about that.
Absolutely.
But I think he was kind of telling the truth, right? Because the way they use Gurley on those outside zones, the Saints, their linebackers were doing an excellent job of containing. Meanwhile, they didn't have Sheldon Rankin. So I really believe there was some validity in McVay saying, I just want to ram CJ Anderson up the gut.
Yeah. And I will be surprised to see if we see CJ Anderson have that type,
yes,
of game against the Patriots. So again, we'll get to it.
Totally.
We're going to get to a lot of stuff. All right.
So
we were talking about Gronk before, right? And we're saying he's got a little bit of an extra thing to him, which is like kind of nuts to think about because he is so extra. Do you think that this is his last game, right? We've been speculating this forever. You think this is it?
I kind of do. Regardless of what happens, you know, so the constant question has been, is he going to go to Hollywood or WWE and be The Rock? He's so hurt at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, he struggled this season, you know, and it just seems possible.
I think that I'm with you. I think he's going to hang it up after this year. I think it's going to be a walk-off. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl and he's going to call it and it will probably be the most epic party, you know, we've ever seen probably after that, which, you know, I look forward to seeing all of that on social media. All right. Our next story, not a story. I love this one.
Oh boy.
The Saints deserve to be here, right? So what a week and a half it's been for New Orleans, right? So, players saying a lot of or sharing their honest thoughts about Roger Goodell over the last few weeks. Cam Jordan, I talked to him at the Pro Bowl. He's like, look, we could have done a lot more,
yes,
but it hurts. It's, you know, we're pretty bitter. We're on group text talking about it. First of all, do you think that they're being a little too bitter? Is it time to move on?
No. What happened to them? The way that went down, everything about it, and we don't need to relitigate it.
Yeah.
Is so unprecedented to me that I understand why they're still on it.
Look at this.
We've
basically put together the moments of bitterness and pettiness from the Saints. I mean, this was probably, in my opinion, the worst with the government shutdown and they're spending their time.
Not a great look.
You know, and then obviously we saw Cam Jordan at the Pro Bowl where, you know, blow whistles, not games. And, you know, he's actually done the best job, I think, of any of the Saints players that have spoken to the media about moving on. And But it hurts. They were just that close. And, you know, head coach Sean Payton afterwards addressed it. He hasn't said anything since until today. Do you want to hear what he had to say?
Let's hear.
I wonder what coach has been up to the last few days.
I would say, honestly, after the game for 2 to 3 days, much like normal people, I sat, probably didn't come out of my room, I ate Jenny's ice cream and watched Netflix for three straight days. Disappointments that you go through relative to your season and this one. nowhere happen, you know, in the postseason. We've got to get past that.
So many different takeaways. One, it's kind of nice knowing, like, coach just does what we all do. Like, it actually sounds more like a breakup, right? Just lay in bed and eat ice cream and watch Netflix.
So specific. What do you think he was watching on Netflix? Terrace House? Firefest?
You.
You.
Have you seen that?
I have seen it. Yes.
I swear I dated somebody like that high school.
The image of Sean Payton eating ice cream watching you is really delightful.
Is he going to get her? Is he going to kill her? Did he kill the ex, too? All right, so there's some talk on social media right now. I feel like we have to address it that, you know, underneath his shirt,
yes,
he was wearing, you know, the We Hate Roger. Is that what the shirt says? It says something.
It's like a clown face.
Oh, yeah, Roger
Goodell,
I think. And if you saw at the top of Coach's, like, I guess, was he wearing a V-neck or like a zip?
Quarter
zip
fleece, like the standard Coach man outfit. Yeah.
I know. Their styles are just so basic.
Yes, there's like four items you see. And one of them is the fleece that unzips to him.
Exactly. Got real dressed up today. So you could see the top of it. And I think there's a bigger conversation here to be had. He obviously has his issues with Roger Goodell going back. To Bounty Gate, and you saw pretty clearly there. I don't think we have to really guess anymore what it is. I would love to know if he comes out and admits it. But, I mean, do you think that Peyton has the right to be this angry at Roger Goodell?
Not really. I mean, this isn't – so people are upset because the NFL hasn't – like, they took so long. They really haven't, I don't think, even issued a – you know, they fined Nicole Roby-Coben for the helmet-to-helmet hit. But beyond that, they haven't come out and made a statement. I think that's frustrated Saints fans because – I'm not saying I agree with it, but they feel like they haven't gotten closure that they deserve. I mean, there's nothing you can do. You're not going to replay the game. And a game that – again, as much as I think, like I said earlier, they were cheated out of it. They could have won a million times, and they failed at.
Mina, they got the ball in overtime. You have Drew Brees at the Superdome with the place the loudest I've ever heard it in my life. My ears were ringing for 3 days after that.
Jared Goff outplayed him in the end.
In the end, and the Saints defense didn't come up, you know, and Cam Jordan's talked about that many, many times since then. But yeah. I don't know. I feel bad for Saints fans. I think, you know, they've obviously have tried to get back to the Super Bowl many times. They've been up and down riding with Peyton and Brees here. We don't know how much time Brees has left.
Right.
And I think that's where it probably burns the most.
Knowing that's your shot. It's so hard to get there. And they do have a very, very young, you know, young roster, great drafts their last few years, and they don't have a pick next year because of Marcus Davenport, right? But at the top. But you're right. Brees also struggled at the end. And if I'm a Saints fan.
He struggled in the postseason altogether.
The last, like, 6 or 7 weeks. So if I'm a Saints fan, I'm concerned. Is that the beginning of a trend? Did we just lose our best shot because of a single ref?
You have to wonder if the meetings that they're having inside that New Orleans front office isn't just, you know, we're mad at Roger Goodell. Is it, what's the game plan here? Is Teddy Bridgewater the future? Is Taysom Hill the future? You know, and you know, we could probably talk about that.
You wouldn't hear Taysom Hill's name again. But here we are.
You don't like him.
No, I just think it's just like, Taysom Hill. You're watching the broadcast. You're like, enough. I know. Taysom Hill, I get it.
I know. It was a little forced at times. It was a little forced. But he was useful. He was useful and they were creative with him. All right. We're going to have a guest here because you're probably sick of looking at our faces here. By the way, start tweeting us. I'm looking at Mina's Twitter here. We have like one response and I think it's my mom and she's like, put more lipstick on. So we actually need to bring somebody on the show here who knows a lot more about football than Mina and I combined on our best day after days of studying. So
that's not true. First of all, Mina knows more about football than me. I mean, I think I got you beat though, Diana.
Damn.
Wow. Shots fired.
All right, let the people weigh
so
in.
It's hurt right now.
It's an internet show. I mean, the Twitter is about taking shots at people, isn't it?
It's so true.
Well, so usually people who aren't actually face to face with you.
It is. That's true.
I'm not a studio gangster. I am not a
studio gangster.
Twitter finger thug.
I like that.
Face to face.
All right, I'm going to quote tweet you and say, bye, boy.
I'm all about the get in a fight and then mute conversation and it feels like you won. I really wish I could do that like on First Take, like
that is
when
true.
We're just debating something and be like, da 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 da, and then hit a button. So
do you block people? Talk.
I've never blocked anybody.
I used to when I was younger, and now I'm like, why would I want to get rid of another follower? Right? I need those numbers. My numbers are terrible. So anyway, help me. Well, we want to talk to you actually about football, about breaking down some of the matchup. She's like very excited about the segment.
I'm
in the Uber over here. She's like, I can't wait for this when we have guests. I'm like, guess you don't want to talk to me. All right, so we're talking head coaches. You know, we mentioned, obviously, we saw Belichick before. Sean McVay, he's so young. In terms of playing in this, in the big game, though, you know, do you think that perhaps Sean McVay could have the edge just because there is a fresh set of eyes and spirit here in approaching the Super Bowl versus somebody who's been there, done that?
No. Like, I don't think that the fresh set of eyes is valuable. I think that Sean McVay is a good coach, and the things that he's done so far this season have been quite impressive, and I think there are things that not too many people notice. One thing that me and I were texting about earlier is they use their tight formations quite a bit, and that, I think, sets up a lot
this
of...
This is what we text about.
No. She texted it to me first, and I wrote back, what? You're annoying me.
I meant to text you.
Yeah, I actually wrote
tight formations.
It sets up a lot of what they do in their offense, and I think we give a lot of credit to him. When we think about an offensive genius, we think about them designing these excellent downfield big shot plays, which Sean McVay is capable of doing, but that happens like maybe 10, 12 times a season. What he does down in and down out is outside zones, boots and waggles, tight formations to confuse the defense. And it's been effective. But I think the thing that pops up in my mind, and I'd love to hear what either of you think about it, is what is the thing that they're going to try to take away? Because that's the kind of
the
conventional
Winston
about what Belichick is like.
It's not
always a person as much as it's a thing. It's often a person, but I don't know what it is for this game necessarily.
Well, they always take away normally what the opponent's best trait is, right? So you're looking at McVay's offense and the run game.
I think it's the run game.
It's the run
well.
Game. I think they're going to, you know, I know you have this theory that Todd Gurley is going to take off.
I think that, well, so, by the way, Boots and Waggles would be an amazing bar name. Just want to throw that out there. See how Boots and Waggles
like she goes out.
Just
so easy.
it really is. I just tee it up for you. Okay, but yeah, so I do expect to see a heavy dose of Todd Gurley. And we were talking earlier about how his disappearing act in the last game. And I'm sure he's a little bit banged up, but a lot of it I thought had to do with game flow, the Saints defense succeeding at containing outside zone runs, which he does pretty well. So the Patriots run defense is just okay. I think the whole defense has played so much better in the postseason, the regular season, that it's kind of hard to draw on statistics. Like, for example, the pass rush has been unreal. And I expect that to be a huge problem for Goff. We'll get to that. But the run defense is not their best attribute. And I really think McVay is going to key in on that early.
So the reason why I'm hesitant to say that they're going to take away the run game is because that is what the Rams want.
Yes.
And if you think about one of the stats that really jumped out to me through the course of the season, I first noticed it in like early in the season. It was like October when I first noticed it, that Todd Gurley was the only running back in the league who faces light boxes, where he has more blockers in the box. He's the only of the top running backs that had more blockers in the box than defenders. So I'm not exactly sure how the Rams are accomplishing it. It's probably like two calls and they're checking at the line of scrimmage, but I don't imagine that you can take away the run for a team that specializes in play action and boots and waggles. I feel like anything that you do to take away the run just sets, that's what they actually want you to do.
Yes.
They want you to be scared of the run so that they can then set up these big plays.
Who have the Patriots faced this season that runs a similar type offense that we're seeing McVay do that they can say,
no
hey,
one,
we've
done
this.
The thing about it is really no one, you know, it's a good question because there's not really a precedent. It's also, I think, McVay's offense is entirely based on deception, right? Because we heard it a million times. Every Super Bowl, there's like a thing that everyone says over and over, and it's always like, you know, rush Brady with four or got to get pressure in the end. And the Rams, it's that the Rams always run 11. They have this very simple offense. For those who don't know, you know, one back, one tight end, three receivers. They have slightly altered that lately. Over the last couple of games, you've been seeing more 12. Some of that has to do with the personnel losing Cooper Kupp, which was huge. But I would expect to see actually even them deviate a little bit more from what they've been doing. Meanwhile, the Patriots defense is also entirely based on deception. So you've got two coaches just trying to trick each other the entire game.
Yeah, that's the best thing about the Patriots defense is it is from week to week, it's very different. It's hard to pin them down on a particular scheme. They play a lot of man coverage because their secondary is good, but they break out new stuff.
Oh.
And they don't even do it from week to week necessarily. They'll have a whole new game plan for the second half of a game.
Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah, which is incredible me. And to the earlier question about the what you're going to stop, I know we've kind of closed that one out, but I think that's important. And you brought up 11 personnel. I love Boots and Wagons. I want to go there and have a quick cocktail. 11 personnel. I think what's more important than 11 or 12 personnel is quarterback under center. That's the thing that I think that they do is the tight formations, quarterback under center. Not very many people are doing that. Everyone runs like outside zone. Everyone has it in their playbook. It's weird. It's the combination that he's doing quarterback under center.
Let's get rid of the ball quickly because that's going to be so.
That is going to be key, which is a perfect transition into discussing Jared Goff versus Patriots pass rush. I mean, if you have to pick in terms of what's more dominant, I mean, do you think he's going to struggle here?
Yes, I do. That's why I think Todd Gurley is so important. Jared Goff has struggled his whole career against the pass rush. Now, the Rams, due to everything we were talking about, the deception, the window dressing, the offensive line being fantastic, they're able to neutralize that in a lot of ways. But Goff's not good against the blitz.
There we go. I've been waiting for you because you said it in one of our text message conversations earlier, and I was like, I need her to say this so I can talk about it. So
you disagree?
I agree.
Oh, I was hoping you were poking holes.
I wanted to steal it, but I was fighting it down to keep it until you finally brought it up because I think you're right because I don't think the pressure necessarily is going to come on the play action or the early down. It's going to come on third down. And if they blitz him, I think that's an effective strategy. Defensive coordinator of the year, Mina Kimes.
What do you think about Goff? Like, how are you more confident? Because like we just said earlier, he outplayed Drew Brees at the end of that game.
There was a very big difference between Drew Brees and Jared Goff in the NFC Championship game, which
crazy,
which did surprise me because if you'd asked me before it, I would have taken Drew Brees any day of the week.
Like any sane human being,
like,
I'd say. Yeah.
Like I said, any sane human being. I was like, well, I'm certainly not a sane, I can tell you that. But yeah,
You should see our boots and waggles.
We're crazy. I think the way he's fit in this offense and the confidence he has in his line.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as we're talking about, the Patriots offensive, but I mean, if we're going to talk about a matchup that I'm looking forward to, it's kind of like O-line versus O-line in terms of who's going to have the stronger game and protecting them. But speaking about Goff, though, Brady versus Goff.
Is that a serious question? I mean, give me Tom Brady. Yeah,
I hear that, but can you make an argument right now where you could try to convince me that Jared Goff could pull this off.
Okay.
Oh, I've got some.
All right, here we
go. You go first.
No. I want you to go first.
I like playing that. I get bored talking about how great Brady is.
I agree.
Here's what I'll say. It's Brady, no question, greatest quarterback, whatever. He's been very, very good
in the
postseason.
They're still going to clip the part where all that's going to get cut out, and they're going to clip this next part and be a part of your next supercut.
I have to, learn to weave my quotes with...
So that they can't.
All I'll say is this. Jared Goff actually made more impressive throws than Tom Brady.
Tweet that out right now. Tweet it. Yes. Mina Kimes taking Jared Goff as Super Bowl MVP right now. Book it. Like it. Quote it. Retweet it. SportsCenter, put it out.
Consistency isn't there. Dominic, you...
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's inarguable that Tom Brady's arm strength is diminished and he is not capable necessarily of being peak Tom Brady. He can be peak Tom Brady in the fourth quarter when you need him to be, but I don't think he can be throughout the course of the game. I think Jared Goff is obviously younger and has a better arm at this point, but
you heard it here, Dominique. Jared Goff has a better arm than Tom Brady.
I'm scared of the internet.
This is a segment we should actually do called "How Can We Edit a Headline?" Right, and just put them out there and just see if it picks up.
But I still wouldn't take him. I think that's a lot of pressure on McVay more than anything. Yeah. And I think another thing that I texted you about was them snapping the ball in less than 5 seconds. The Rams lead the league in that. They're 121 times compared to the second team, which is below 40. And I think the point of that is that they have the defense believe that they could snap it immediately at any time, which eliminates an opportunity for disguise, which allows for McVay to have a whole lot of time in Jared Goff's ear until that 15 seconds to kind of tell him what's going on out there.
All right. Well, I want to get your thoughts on some hot Twitter takes, because there are actually people out there who just get in front of that keyboard and they just light the world ablaze. Mina's responsible for some of them. But let's start with our pal Trey Wingo. He tweeted out, there will be a deep dive heading into Super Bowl 53, but it really comes down to this, okay? Get Brady up the field or on the field on third down. In the playoffs, Pats are converting 61% of their third downs, and he hasn't been sacked since. That's the whole enchilada.
Not the hottest take.
I would say that's a Stetson info note that he got that he tweeted.
Well, and it's also not the whole enchilada.
Sorry.
Significant portion of the enchilada,
maybe.
Open
the kimono a little bit. it's not right. So yes, you don't let Tom Brady convert third downs.
Okay. To Trey's defense, though, like it's a basic statement, but he's right. I mean, it's exactly what needs to happen. And
all right, I got a tweet for you. So, score more points than the opponent. Whole enchilada. You can have that, Trey.
Thank you.
You can have it. You can take it. Tweet it out. It can be the whole burrito this time.
text me at that. Can I get included on this text? All right. How about our pal Dan Orlovsky, who is really the prince of ESPN these days? The more I hear people talk about the Super Bowl, the more I'm confused on how good the Rams are. Only NFL team, top five in both run-pass offense. They have six weapons on offense and are walking definition of pick your poison. What say? Do you think that's a hot take?
It's a take, at least.
Yeah, it's not a take, though.
No, he's saying that the Rams are underrated now.
That's not a take.
Do you think they're underrated?
Did he pick them to win? He said they're underrated. Like, underrated is subjective.
Tweeted us if you think the Rams are going to win. I think it's... there's some validity to what he's saying. You know, it does feel like they're... But a lot of the biggest reason why the Rams are sort of viewed the way they are is because their performance did decline over the back half of the season, especially on the offense and Goff in particular. Now, the defense has been excellent in the postseason.
Okay, wait. You actually tweeted recently about Dan. I spent a few minutes last night laying in bed being jealous of Dan Orlovsky for unearthing this defensive gem.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, first of all, I'll never forget that moment. Many thoughts.
Oh, yeah, give them to me.
Okay, one, why are you laying in bed thinking about Dan?
Why not? Have you seen him?
He is very handsome. But two, why are you thinking about his film breakdown?
Oh, my gosh. You must not have seen this particular.
I actually did. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's the Colts one, right? The Colts secondary.
I was so jealous because it was so great.
Why do you like Dan so much?
Well, I since before I worked in the media, when you watch people on TV talk about football, they don't often understand what's going on. And to have someone get on there and break it down in a way like that, where you clearly, like on a quarterback level, because even players like me don't see the game the way the quarterback do. So for him to do that and for me to feel like I'm watching a segment on TV and I'm actually learning something about football, it feels great. And I was proud of him.
Feel that
I was jealous.
Every time I text you that you're learning something about
it. Dan Orlovsky just tweeted, by the way, because he's engaged. Dan, we love you. He said, I'm picking the Rams to win the Super Bowl.
Hot take.
He is willing to stick his neck out there. That is the hottest take that
we've
ever.
Dan just won our show.
Yeah, Dan, and he's gonna go lay in bed and think about you then.
Can't wait.
How about Bill Barnwell? All right, so he tweeted out, "I would hire Tony Romo."
Oh no, that's me. That's not Bill.
Oh.
All right, let's go to Mina. Brady is the best quarterback in NFL history. He had a slightly down season. Why don't you read your own tweet? Why am I reading it?
This isn't a take. Basically, all these Patriots fans were coming at me for pointing out accurately that they were favored to win every game. So I just said, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, Diana. Brady wasn't great this season. He's been great in the postseason. Gronk was, he can still block, but that's about it. He's been great in the postseason too. Like, it's not a bad thing that they are playing better now than they did during the regular season, but it does mean that it wasn't inaccurate for people to think they weren't, the greatest team.
You don't
got to
defend yourself against these meatheads. That always disappoints me when it seems like you have to defend yourself against them.
It's funny. I very rarely notice Mina, like, jabbing with people.
Really?
And, so nice.
And I was running errands and I saw, Mina. Stop referring to these idiots. And I think I even texted you. I was like, what are you doing?
I was like at the airport or something.
I know. Sometimes boredom can be very dangerous.
I have
done some weird things on Twitter when I'm bored and things I search too. Some other good hot takes out there that are being tweeted out. Let's take one from Mike Reese, saying that Tom Brady says seeing Gronk enjoying opening night was one of the highlights for him and gives him a good feeling. That's what he said. Obviously not the hottest of hot takes, but I'm always interested.
Read between the lines. What is he saying?
I think Reese is locked in with the Patriots. He's easily one of the best reporters we have covering that team. But I think his sentiments there were what we were talking about earlier.
Well, I think, so I, you know, I we haven't really talked about the Patriots offense. I actually think we might see a little more Gronk than people expect, especially if the Rams play man.
Yeah, I mean, there is no Gronk matchup. There's no good matchup for Gronk.
Yep.
Even at this slightly deteriorated Gronk version, he's still a tough matchup. But I do find the Brady-Gronk relationship very interesting, especially in light of the Brady-Belichick relationship.
Yeah.
Because you remember over the summer, we learned that apparently they were going to trade Gronk to Detroit, and Gronk said he's only playing for Brady, essentially, and showing some bit of loyalty to Brady. Then you have all the, like, rumored friction between Brady and Belichick. I just like to imagine that Gronk and Tom Brady go off and trash
like
talk
out.
And go and trash talk Belichick.
Oh,
like everyone else does their boss.
Sit around.
Like when we leave here, we're gonna go badmouth our bosses at Boots and Waggles. They're gonna do the same thing.
I see it more as like a Hodor Bran relationship from Game of Thrones, where Gronk just walks around carrying Brady on his shoulders and goes Gronk. Gronk.
I think they definitely hang out together. I think all the Patriot friends, all the guys on that team hang out together and definitely probably do
just
imitations
like
of Phil.
Good friends.
Not me. I don't get invited.
Sorry.
What about J.J. Watt? This was very odd. He said, you should try spaghetti squash. It tastes just like real spaghetti. As an Italian person, he's nuts. Oh, wait.
Oh, no, he
actually wrote. Are you nuts? Have you ever even had real spaghetti? Oh, he's in my corner. Good job, JJ Watt. I think we can all say we love spaghetti.
That's not a very hot take.
Spaghetti's delicious.
All right, so fortunately, you guys have been very active on Twitter over the last 5 minutes. There's been an uptick because of you. Thank you so much. And Dan Orlovsky, who's just sitting at home.
What's up with your Twitter searches, though? I want to... I need you to disclose at least one of those before the end of the show.
I know. Oh, I just fall down these holes where I'm like, why am I searching this person or this topic? It's just very strange. I have a weird thing. I was looking up clowns the other day.
On Twitter?
Yeah. I just wanted to see if there was like a clown that had a Twitter handle. Like, what is a clown tweet?
That's fantastic.
You know?
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm glad you shared that. I appreciate it.
You asked me. All right, guys. That is it for today. We are back, Mina and I, live from Atlanta, back tomorrow at 1:30 Eastern. Make sure you check us out. Tweet us tomorrow. Join us and share your thoughts, too. So we're going to go check out the rest of Atlanta, but we'll be back tomorrow. Good night, guys.
I won't be back.